Grace to and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. On the night of his betrayal, as our Lord Jesus Christ was about to undergo the deepest agonies and sufferings of both body and soul in his passion, he knew that the Father had given all things into his hands. And to understand the significance of these words, recorded by the Apostle John in chapter 13 of his Gospel, which we heard moments ago, we do well to go back to the beginning of John's Gospel, in which we read, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." These words not only tell us that the Word, the Son of God, the second person of the Holy Trinity, became man, flesh and blood like us, but they also tell us that his divine glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, shines forth and is seen in, with, and through his human flesh. In other words, all his glory as God was given into his hands as a man, starting at the very beginning of his incarnation. Yes, from the very moment God became man in the womb of the Virgin Mary, the fullness of the deity dwelt bodily in him, as the Apostle Paul writes. In that instant, when the Holy Spirit came upon her, and the power of the Most High overshadowed her, and Mary conceived the Son of God in her womb, the human nature of Jesus of Nazareth, Son of Mary, was personally united with the divine nature of the Son of the Heavenly Father. In Christ we find a unique union of God and man, one that is found nowhere else. Yes, it's absolutely true that God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit dwells within his believers, but he does not dwell in the believers bodily. He's not personally united with them. This is the case only for Christ. Only Jesus is fully God and fully man, two natures united in one person. And so when Jesus became incarnate, all his divine power and majesty, which was his eternally as God, became his as a man. And this is far more than simply having the highest and best human gifts in himself, that Jesus was the wisest, most pious, most loving, most faithful, etc. man ever to live. That's true, yes. But Jesus as a man has an even higher majesty than that. He is the head over all things. Everything has been put in subjection under his feet. He gives life to whom he will. He executes judgment. He raises up everyone who believes in him on the last day. And again, these divine powers are not just given to Jesus, the Son of God, according to his divine nature. They're given to him as a man, as true man. As he testifies in John chapter 5, the Father has given him all authority because he is the Son of Man. Or again, as we heard earlier in this service, because the Father has given all things into his hands. During his earthly life, many saw the glory of God, the Word made flesh, glory as of the only Son from the Father. As he worked many miracles throughout all Judea and Galilee, changing water into wine, cleansing lepers, feeding multitudes with just a few loaves and fish. As we heard earlier, before the season of pre-Lent began, we heard how Jesus manifested his glory in a visible way to Peter, James, and John as he was transfigured on the high mountain, as bright, shining light poured forth from his very face and clothes. These miracles and this majesty Jesus did, he had in himself. He was not like the prophets and apostles who had to confess that it was not their own power or piety that allowed them to do miracles. No. Jesus possessed all authority in himself. He possessed all divine power in himself. He possessed all divine glory in himself as true God and true man. But at the same time, our Lord Jesus Christ came in lowliness, in meekness, and in humility. And in that humiliation, he did not always and everywhere use his divine power and authority and glory, only when and where he willed. And that's why when he was born, he was wrapped in swaddling cloths and laid in a manger, because there was no room for him in the inn. That's why he came first in the womb of his mother, and then born as an infant, why he must grow in wisdom and in stature. And that's why, as we heard in the beginning of the season of Lent, he suffered hunger and thirst, even the temptations of the evil one, pain and loss, exhaustion and sorrow. He was not mimicking this suffering, this weakness, this lowliness. He truly endured all these things in his flesh. And all the more, as Christ entered into the hour of his passion, he did not use the divine power that dwelt within his human nature to help or save himself. To the very end, he remained humble. To the very end, he remained a servant. As we heard, he tied a towel around his waist and he washed his disciples' feet in lowliness. As we will hear tomorrow night, he prayed with agony. We hear from the Gospel of Luke that his sweat fell to the ground as great drops of blood, that he needed an angel from heaven to strengthen him. We will hear how he submitted to the soldiers' restraints and he went with them to be tried as a criminal. And when Peter tried to rescue him with a sword, he told Peter to stop and put that sword away. He could have summoned 12 legions of angels to deliver him. He could have called his servants to fight to keep him from being arrested by the Jews. But he did not. It's not that Jesus set aside his divine power and majesty entirely. Again, all things were given into his hands by his Father, even as he was about to suffer and die. Jesus never stopped being the Son of God. Even as he suffered and was crucified, he remained the Lord of glory. And that's why, as we'll also hear tomorrow night, it was with a word that those who came to arrest him drew back and fell to the ground. Again, as we hear in the Gospel of Luke, Jesus miraculously healed the ear of the servant that Peter had cut. Nevertheless, they crucified the Lord of glory. Jesus was truly crucified, truly died, and truly was buried. He, the Son of God. As we now enter into the great three-day festival, the Triduum, in which we remember the sufferings and death of our Lord Jesus Christ, it is proper for us to consider not only what our Lord accomplished over Maundy Thursday, Good Friday, and Easter Sunday, but also how he accomplished it and why. This is what our Lord did. On the night of his betrayal, our Lord Jesus Christ instituted the sacrament of the altar, giving his very body and blood under bread and wine for us Christians to eat and drink for the forgiveness of our sins. On the next day, our Lord Jesus Christ was lifted up from the earth on the wood of the cross, bearing the sins of the whole world and making atonement for them with his holy precious blood and his innocent suffering and death. On the third day, our Lord Jesus Christ rose again from the dead, proving himself to be the Son of God in power according to the Spirit of holiness, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. And all this he did so that we might be his own, that we might live under him in his kingdom, that we might serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness. This is what our Lord did. And this is why our Lord accomplished what he did. All this he did for us men and for our salvation because of his boundless love for us all. as we heard, when his hour had come to depart out of the world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And this refers not only to his apostles gathered in the upper room with him. It doesn't only refer to the women who followed him and the other disciples who listened to his preaching. This includes you. Our Lord Jesus Christ, when he knew that his hour had come to die, loved you to the end. This is why he did what he did. But how? How did our Lord accomplish what he did? How did he accomplish the giving of his body and blood in the sacrament? How did he accomplish his atoning death on the cross? How did he accomplish his resurrection from the grave to give us life and salvation forevermore? He became man without ceasing to be God. Jesus becoming man would not do any of us any good if it meant that he was no longer God. Nor would it help and save us if Jesus became man without any real connection between his humanity and divinity, as if he simply added humanity as an appendix to his divine person, like gluing two boards together. No. All things had to be given into the hands of this man, Jesus, the Word made flesh by God the Father. He had to possess all divine power and majesty as true man, so that by taking on human flesh, he might cleanse your humanity from the sin and stain of Adam's fall. As it is written in the book of Hebrews, since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same things, that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. Yes, it was by becoming man that God willed to accomplish the salvation of mankind, and he did it. Now he lives forevermore as one undivided person, Jesus Christ, true God and true man, the Word made flesh. It was as the God-man that Jesus paid the penalty that you owed in your place, and abolished death and brought life and immortality to light. It was as the God-man that Jesus subjected himself under the law to redeem you who were under the law. For by the obedience of the one man, many, yes, you are made righteous. As the God-man, Jesus was crucified, so that the suffering, bleeding, and dying of the man Jesus Christ as your substitute is truly the suffering, bleeding, and dying of God, which is all-powerful, all-sufficient to pay for your sins and the sins of the whole world. And as the God-man, Jesus has flesh and blood, flesh that is true food and blood that is true drink. His flesh is the bread that comes down from heaven that gives life to the world. His blood cleanses us from all sin and purifies our conscience from dead works to serve the living God. And therefore it is not only possible, but it is true that his body and his blood are in, with, and under the bread and wine on this very altar. And on the altars of faithful congregations all around the world, all at the same time. It is true that his body and his blood are given and shed for you, for the forgiveness of sins. It is true that by eating this bread and drinking this cup, you participate in the body and blood of Christ. If Jesus weren't the God-man, that is to say, if he did not possess all divine power and majesty in his human hands, if it hadn't been given to him by the Father, then this would just be plain, ordinary bread and wine, and therefore of no benefit to you. You would still be under the law. You would still be in your sins. You would still be subject to death. You would still be doomed to hell. but the Father has truly given all things into his Son Jesus' hands. As the Word made flesh, his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, has been manifested to us. As the Word made flesh, Jesus came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. And therefore we can say with confidence, the blood of Jesus, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. Having given his life as that ransom, even to the point of death on the cross, Christ is risen from the grave indeed, alive forevermore, eternally the Word made flesh, eternally the God-man, now highly exalted. After his resurrection, Jesus would say to his disciples on the mountain, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. All divine, infinite, immeasurable power and authority is his as man, in and through his humanity." And with that power, he sent his disciples to preach, to teach, to baptize, to make disciples, to save sinners. That word and that sacrament continues to go forth to you this very day. As you receive that ministry, which Christ our dear Lord instituted by his divine power and authority, do not doubt or disbelieve, but have faith in his words. "This is my body. This is my blood. They are given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins." Yes, be sure of this, because there is one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, who for us men and for our salvation was made man. And therefore his body and blood are all powerful to strengthen and preserve you in body and soul, even unto everlasting life. In the name of Jesus, please stand. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.